Greetings in Christ the Lord. This is the final chapter in the New Jerusalem, chapter 76, the end of all things. Praise the Lord. Scriptures. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell in them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, or the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 14. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street thereof, and on this side of the river and on that, was the tree of life, bearing 12 manner of fruits, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no curse any more, and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be therein. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. And his name shall be on their foreheads, and there shall be night no more, and they need no light of lamp, neither light of sun, for the Lord God shall give them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he said unto me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7, American Standard Version. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work, established on eternal principles. It is an abomination to God and men for kings to commit wickedness. For a throne is established and made secure by righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. Right and just lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but the wise man will pacify it. In the light of the king's countenance of life and his favor is a cloud bringing the spring rain. How much better it is to get skillful and godly wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 10-19. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. He who guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16, verses 11-18, Amplified. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us, and the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1-3. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Genesis 1, verses 26-31. Ask of the Lord rain in the time of the latter or spring rain. It is the Lord who makes lightnings, which ushers in the rain, and give men showers and grass to everyone in the field. For the teraphim, household idols, have spoken vanity, emptiness, falsity, and futility. And the diviners have seen a lie, and the dreamers have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people go their way like sheep. They are afflicted and hurt because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds, who are not true shepherds, and I will punish the goat leaders. For the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his beautiful and majestic horse in the battle. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1-10. Out of him, Judah, shall come forth the cornerstone, out of him the tent peg, out of him the battle bow. Every ruler shall proceed from him. Jeremiah 30 and verse 21. and they shall be like mighty men treading down their enemies in the mire of the streets, in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them. And the oppressor's riders on horses shall be confounded and put to shame. And I will strengthen the house of Judah and will save the house of Joseph, brackets Ephraim. And I will bring them back and cause them to dwell securely, for I have mercy, loving kindness, and compassion for them. They shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Zechariah chapter 10, verses 1 to 6. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Immediately I was caught up with the angel, and found myself standing at the end of the sixth day of creation. As the Lord then finished creating man on the sixth day, I saw the Lord with his hand outstretched over the created earth, his right hand with the palm facing down upon that which he had made. After a while, the Lord then slowly turned his hand up, so the palm faced upwards. As he did, a gathering cloud formed behind him, and he receded back into the gathering cloud with his hand facing upwards, until the Lord was totally enveloped in the cloud, and he could not be seen because of the thickness of the cloud. As this cloud enveloped the Lord, as he withdrew from being viewed by his creation, iniquity sprang up in the earth, and evil began immediately to increase. And vision. Second vision. I beheld then the earth in our time rife with iniquity, and the imaginations of men's hearts was evil continually. Over all the earth, the realm of iniquity and the fullness of evil men's hearts was covering the earth as a plague, a ruse, a false lying wonder. The evil and death realm in the earth I saw as extremely dark and black, a realm that was not holden by the Lord, but he was still withdrawn from his created earth. The very atmosphere around the earth and the constellations above the earth were also without the presence of the Lord. So great had iniquity grown, but I beheld from the north a small little cloud form, the size of a man's hand. This cloud began, in its small size, to rain upon the earth soft drops of clear rain, shining in the sun, bright with promise, and filled with the hope of the love of the Lord. The cloud grew and covered the atmosphere, yet it did not block the sun. This rain fell upon all that was in the earth, covered in the dark blotch of iniquity, and lost in the evil of this hour. The rain fell ever so softly. The cloud increased and grew until all in the earth, swallowed up by iniquity, was showered upon by this rain. End vision. End two visions. Persecution comes to any person who chooses to overcome all things in their lives. And this persecution comes in many forms. First of all, the person whose desire is solely towards the Lord will have the contention of the carnal mind within their very own life, causing them to doubt the Lord. This carnal mind persecution is the first realm of persecution that any overcomer will endure. The next realm of persecution against the faith of they that overcome is in the realm of the senses, based and rooted in the soul of any man. Emotions will also combat your forward progress in the Lord. and make you fear not only this world, but will disdain you for casting your hope upon the Lord alone and not making progress in the world for yourself. Such emotion is vanity to the lowest degree, because it causes one who longs for eternal realities to be overtaken by that which is of the world and of the fashion of the world, which fashion will all pass away. Those are two areas where persecution will arise against an overcomer. If those areas are succeeding in eliminating your progress in the Lord, then know they succeeded by being subtle, snide, cursive, and evasive. Never trustworthy, these two elements in you, the carnal mind and your vain emotions. Both end up being hidden in you, as if those things are the real you, when in fact the real you is the person living in abandonment to the Lord. Just like demonic power, these two entities you carry in your person are just as volatile and aggressive, but in a way in which you cannot perceive them. They sneak in like an army, outflanking another, and they take you without your conscious awareness that such is happening to you. They tempt you to think that your separation from the Lord has ended and the warfare has ceased. Again, they tempt you to think that your separation from the Lord has ended. Ah, your separation from the Lord has ended and the warfare has ceased. The third area of persecution that the overcomer endures is from those outside of your life who are involved in religious effort. Those who have tamed the beast by being religious and thus assuming they have the Lord on their side. Any true overcomer in this day is being disdained by denominational Christians. Again, any overcomer in this day is being disdained by denominational Christians. Pausing there with a footnote, there's two beasts mentioned in the book of Revelation, the lesser beast and the tame beast. One is the Adamic nature in mankind, and the other is the Adamic nature in mankind in religiosity. And footnote. Christianity alone cannot accept or agree with either the doctrine or the walk of one who would overcome all things. And this persecution comes in the form of you being judged by them, judged by the Christian. This persecution comes in the form of you being judged by them. That's religious Christendom judging you. Even if they are at a distance from you and know you not personally, because you do not come into their form, they disqualify you from the prize. Such is the third realm of persecution for the overcomer. Disdained and alone in the earth, the Lord truly does take them up, but he takes them up to give them the power of the inworked cross, not to give them prosperity messages and worldly wealth and power and glory, but the cross. Now that does not mean that an overcomer cannot have worldly wealth and power and glory. It is just that their heart won't be fashioned after those things. It is the core element in their lives that holds them, even the love of the truth, which truth causes them to walk a crucified life. Look around you. Modern Christianity, whom I call Christendom, has forsaken the cross. They have put it away. There are even those in the Sun Company who declare that there is no more realm of death or dying for us to walk through, that we can be complete now with no further processings needed. The truth is that the cross must continue to work in each overcomer until their course of faith is finished or the Lord comes. Turning now to the view of the New Jerusalem. What a marvelous litmus test for mankind. Litmus test. This city of the Lord is situated in such a manner as to have its gates opened continually for freedom of entry. But not one single person born of a woman in all the eons of time through world history and right up to this present day qualifies to enter that city. Not one person qualifies. No one anywhere has the right to enter by those gates into the full promise of the Lord in total restoration. Yet, all mankind will enter this city. No one in the end of all things will be outside its walls. The city will be the manifestation of the holiness of God without measure, and all that is of this fallen creation will be swallowed up into it. So no one qualifies for it, but no one will be left out of it. No one qualifies for it, but no one will be left out of it. That is the city and the scope of personal cleansing that each and every soul must go through to enter this holy place, for nothing that defiles can enter it. So then, if all are going to enter it, then that means that defilement has an end. This ending of defilement comes to each one who views that city and vows to enter it as a new creation. They go to the Lord the same way with the same request, and the Lord works the very same separation of soul from spirit, of bone from marrow, in each one in due order. For I am prophesying that all of mankind, no matter when they lived or where they lived or what they believed religiously or what they did in this present world, all mankind will be brought into the city of God. No one in the very end of things will be excluded. No one will be fraught with so much iniquitous corruption that they can never be cleansed. The blood that Jesus shed avails for all, not just some, and all men will enter by the gates into the paradise of the Lord. For the present time, we come to view they that overcome. Right now, because of the persecution they bear, they are viewing the gates and are in compliance with the dealings of the Lord, even if they are in much ignorance as to his motion of spirit. They still long for this completed work to be done and for the eternal rest from the works of flesh to end. The act of overcoming to them is an act of obedience. As light is separate from darkness, just as day is from night, so these see the duality in themselves, and they walk with the Lord to see that cumbersome burden removed, bit by bit, until they finish their course. And finish they will, for the verbiage of their lives is to be fully complete, lacking nothing in this time of bearing their crosses. Their crosses come as a persecution to their lives, and an ensample of suffering, both from resisting their base emotions and carnality to the scorn of the religious ones. In all that, they also continue to put to the power of the cross their own flesh, that they might be fully set apart for the Lord. It is this very separation unto the Lord and the persecution that comes to them which shows to the Lord their true character. It is that very persecution which gives them first rights to enter by the gates into the final rest in the Lord. The fact that they are entering the city of God is the very reason for the persecution. Again, the fact that they are entering the city of God is the very reason for the persecution. Christianity in our day cannot stand they that overcome. Again, Christianity, that church down the street, folks, Christianity in our day cannot stand they that overcome. They that overcome are a testament against all their religious efforts and denominational works. Yet this aloneness and this casting away of the overcomer by the religious is the proof of the fiery test perfecting the overcomer and preparing them for the glory of the Lord's house. In the days ahead, I will be writing on the mystery of Israel's blindness and will show you how this has happened now to modern Christianity. Know this, that you, as an overcomer, have become one prepared to enter into this final great promise at the return of the Lord, and at the same time, you are tormenting those who bear religious effort in our modern Christian world. You've become a thorn in their flesh, a testament of their vile works and vain efforts, and you are being persecuted for it. Abandoned and alone, that proves that you are being readied for these greater things. Indeed, those who are of the overcoming class of people are part of this two-witness company which torments those that dwell upon the earth. The scripture, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Footnote, this is opposite to the New Jerusalem, a different city, the bad city. End footnote. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted, and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. Revelation 11, verses 7 to 14. With that, I would like to quote from a good friend of mine who set this out in doctrine that I find to be perfect in understanding and in power. This doctrine rises in my heart like a spear ready to be thrown and thrust through anything I find in my life that would prevent me from the greatest valor of the victory of Christ. I would quote my friend here. Scripture verse first, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." 2 Timothy 2:19. And here is the quote. The way I see it is that the foundation of God involves the forgiveness of every sin and iniquitous act from our past as the point when we initially accept Christ as our Savior, receiving His Spirit through the power of His blood. This seals or ensures our acceptance by Him. This is His sure foundation. In order to make our foundation sure, we must then, with our new gift, begin to run a race in anticipation of the prize. Of course, it is far from a smooth track or road that we run on. We must cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We must learn His ways, and then, in a daily action of our will, choose to walk, brackets, run, in His ways, brackets, light. And in this, we have guarantee of fellowship and His cleansing from all unrighteousness. This is all part and parcel of the process whereby we depart from iniquity. Paul said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. As we run, we must always choose to bring our flesh into subjection of the Holy Spirit. As long as it is in subjection, the seeds of iniquity cannot take root and overcome us, and iniquity is subdued. It does not act in outward manifestation of sin or iniquity. Specifically, how do we keep our garden from getting overgrown by weeds? We keep weeding it as the weeds come up. In bringing the weeds under subjection, we daily, brackets figurative, do something in order to keep the weeds from overtaking the garden and choking out the fruit, the veggies, etc. As our weeds are kept under control, our garden grows better. As the weeds decrease, our garden increases. As we decrease, He increases. Yes, our body, the garden, and those iniquitous weeds which grow there must be brought and kept under control, subjection. Only when the weeds show themselves do we really know what area they are in. That's when we are to act together with the will of the Holy Spirit in keeping the garden under control so that it is not overrun with undesirable growth. If we do nothing, it gets overrun. All the tools we need in order to create a good and acceptable garden are in our tool shed, even the Word of God. The Lord does His part in bringing the rain and the light of the sun in order to facilitate growth. Remember, the tares are destined to grow together with the wheat until the time when the wheat, the garden, is harvested. In other words, the tares will always be there in some form or other. You just have to keep your garden weeded. The thing is, just like in a garden, the seeds of the weeds are not noticeable until they grow and surface. Our iniquity is hidden in our earth, just like the seeds. There's a difference in having iniquity and working iniquity. We will always have seeds somewhere in our earthen soul until the Lord come. But if we are going to run the race and receive the prize, we must allow the seeds that have become visible as weeds to be cut down or pulled. We can depart from iniquity by not allowing the weeds to keep growing. The seeds will be there, but their action of springing up and growing outward acts of iniquity must be cut off or uprooted by us using the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us. This is the same principle as taking our cross and dying daily. All of this is part and parcel of departing from iniquity. It is not any one thing you can do at any one time. Rather, it is a daily act of our will and a process involving different things at different times as one yields to the Holy Spirit. I can't tell you exactly how to do this. It is different for everyone, depending on what it is that the Lord is dealing with in their lives. But the blueprint on how to overcome is all there in God's Word. Religious spirits make it soured, complicated, and difficult, but Jesus said, "My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." He has already done it all, and you simply need to trust that He will continue to bring it all to completion in you as well. One thing is sure. We cannot depart from iniquity by our own might or by our own power, but only through His. End quote. From me again. Thus ends the study on the New Jerusalem, that church which will have no temple therein, no need for the light of the sun or of the moon, but the glory of God and of the Lamb will be the light and the temple of it. This final place of eternal life for all to abide in, a boundless realm of the love of God and the viewpoint for all His tremendous plan. So it is that our time here will pass. The Lord will finish this promise, and we shall be brought into the light and glory of His everlasting kingdom. Jesus is coming very soon, and His coming will be in the light of this pure city wherein all creation will eternally dwell. He has opened the gates, and He alone will prepare each one to enter. This is your real future. You will behold this with your very eyes in that day when the Lord stands upon the earth, and your eyes will see Him. The blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you all. The end of the New Jerusalem study. Kenneth B. Vischer.